And the
podcast
begins with a song of rebellion.
How can this
podcast
be my life?
CD Burners.
One of my 222. I am 222. 22. Desmond Tutu. Who is Desmond Tutu?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know who Desmond Tutu is?
No, I've never met a person named Desmond.
I think he's like an African leader. South African theologian and priest.
I bet you heard that.
I bet you I heard it at Catholic school.
I bet you heard it on like Huberman or something.
No, Huberman doesn't talk about Desmond Tutu. He only talks about science and science-based tools.
Desmond Tutu. Is it T-U-T-U?
Yeah.
Real name?
Sir Desmond Tutu.
Oh, he's knighted.
I don't know if he's knighted. Sounds like he would be knighted, though. Which album are we doing? Tiger Jaws?
Yeah, we could do Tiger Jaws.
I saw water.
It's so good.
Speaking of Sir Desmond Tutu and the church, I saw water was inspired by the Bible, or like a hymnal. Did you know that?
I didn't. There was a point where I looked it up. Like, I did look up what it was.
We'll come back to it. All right. Guys, today we're talking about the self-titled album, Tiger's Jaw by Tiger's Jaw.
I've been saying it like that for a long time. It's hard to...
Tiger Jaws?
Yeah.
Well, it's because... Dude, this kid, do I have enough headroom? I think I do.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
Do you think somebody's going to be like, watch this and go, there's literally not enough headroom?
Well, dude, I don't know if you've watched Talking Talk to the new show from Cam and Peter.
You should put a pro.
It is so funny. And it's blowing up. Like, okay, the guys who edit the clips for this show, they have a new show that they just launched called Talking Talk Tua. And they go and they analyze Talk Tua, like the podcast episode by episode. And they do like extremely intellectual conversation. I don't know how they do it. Like, it seems almost scripted, but like, they're so fast and they're so well spoken. I'm like, these are some of the smartest guys ever. But yeah, they go through and they're like, the headroom on this, they really are going in tight. And then they're like, this is quite the creative choice by the director of photography.
They're the funniest people. Cam's the funniest guy that's ever been born.
So funny.
He's the shout out Cam. He's the guy who helps edit he does all of our clips.
Dude,
stuff.
I don't think they're going to be able to do our clips for much longer, honestly, because Talking Talk to is on like episode 4 and like every clip gets like 400,000 views.
Yeah, Cam's genius, dude.
It's insane. It's awesome.
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Just go on Talking Talk to a.
We're going to have to just launch.
We have to launch
Talking Talk to a, where we that's analyze
actually
their...
very, that's a funny... Cam, you should do that. You should be...
I can't take credit for it. I did see that in a TikTok comment that was like, when are we getting Talking Talk to a?
That's so funny. That's awesome.
Yeah, really funny. Podcast that's about a podcast?
About a podcast. That's the type of stuff that I like. That, to me, makes it all worth it.
That's hilarious.
But I think it's, like, in general about a podcast about the Hawk Tua girl. That's, like, hosted by the Hawk Tua girl in general is the funny. It's, like, the funniest. You know, you have your, like, comedy tier. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, in general, being like, that exists. All right, we're going to be really smart about this thing that's inherently really so stupid.
Yeah, it's amazing. They're really smart, and I'm worried about us for our clips, but I'm proud of them. Well, anyway.
I want Cam to, look, whatever we can do to help Cam succeed, but he doesn't need our help. I just hope he does.
Yeah.
Like, it's the best. He's the fucking best.
So today we're talking about Tiger's Jaw. As much as I'd love to continue talking about Talking Talk Tua, we have to talk about Tiger's Jaw and their self-titled album that came out in 2008 on Prison Jazz Records, which was then reissued in 2009 on Run for Cover Records. The Scranton, Pennsylvania band, Tiger's Jaw, one of Morgan's favorites.
I have to correct you about something.
Correct me.
We get to talk we about get to. Tiger's Jaw.
You're right.
Get to talk about Tiger's Jaw.
It's That's the, a good way to
it's,
say it.
It's my, they are, I know, I go, there's like three or four bands within this whole thing that we do that I'll love. Like, it will always be at the top. I might go through phases where something will bridge or go above that, but I always go back to Saves the Day, Tiger's Draw, Jimmy Eat World. Like, those are like the three, like, consistent since you've known me, right? Like, those have been consistent.
Well, I think this album has a lot of Saves the Day in it. I hear a ton of Saves the Day in Tiger's Draw.
Well, you didn't, well, let's, why don't we do this? Did you really, you didn't really know them super well before listening to this, right?
I mean, I knew, you know, the big ones. I knew the big ones off this album. But I, okay, here's the thing. Like, when we started doing research, my initial thing was like, oh, yeah, they were like, you know, this came out in like 2012, 2013. And then I was like, wait a second. It came out in 2008. That, it like really blew me away, because in the context of like this podcast, I'm thinking about other albums that came out in 2008, and you have like The Main, and you have like all that like neon pop punk stuff going on. And then Tiger's Jaw was doing this, which is interesting because nobody was really doing this at the time. This was like the launch of fourth wave emo, I think, you know, but it's also, they're kind of going back and referencing stuff like Saves the Day, which is, you know, second wave emo.
I think that they're an entirely, this album, in actually their first, like this album, yeah, this album, because they started to get a little bit more popular after this album, but this album in particular, I think, kind of changed the course and why we have bands like Modern Baseball and we have bands like that type of shit. I think Tiger's Jaw paved the way for that. And while they're, you know, all of the bands that have the word like dad pants in it, like that shit, like I think that
dad pants,
like they exist because of this album in particular. And I think that it's so much more influential than I think, at least like the coverage on it is difficult to find, kind of, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you love it so much, because as I was listening to it, I was like, oh, okay, this is all the stuff that Morgan likes. It's 10 tracks and the whole album is 30 minutes long in total. So it's not a huge commitment. The songs are short and sweet.
I have something to say about that, actually.
Okay.
There, some of them are. Some of them are too long.
Like, is which one?
I Saw Water is too long, but this is the beauty about it. Like, there is like a beautiful thing about it. The structure, I love this album for so many reasons. And a lot of it is because if you were to put this in front of, they wrote this when like some of the people in the band were like 16, right? And I think if you're, you know, you're putting this in front of, let's say you put it in front of like a producer that has been doing this for a long time, they're going to be like, the structure of this song is not right. Like, this is not, you're way too long here. This goes on for too long. You only do this part once and it's a chorus kind of, but for some reason it all really works. It all works and it feels exactly how it should. And I don't think that you could recreate something like that if you tried, because it sounds like it was written by people who are super young in the most mature and respectful way possible.
Yeah, I think it sounds really earnest. Like, it sounds authentic. And that, I think, is one difference with Saves the Day. You know, there's stuff on this album with like the harmonies, the bass playing, where I'm like, oh my God, yeah, this is definitely Through Being Cool. I can hear Saves the Day coming through here. But lyrically, I think it's so much different. Because, like, remember when we were talking about Chris, like, he was like an NYU like writing student and he was trying to write these like big grandiose metaphors and like beautiful poetry. And he was really intellectual into literature, and this stuff, these lyrics are really simple,
they're not
like bad. Like, it's simple and digestible and authentic and real.
I think the word that I was trying to look for I didn't need to listen to this album again, you know, like to do this. But I think I did, obviously. And I was like, oh yeah, this is fucking the best. I think the word is apathetic in a really meaningful way. Like, there are lyrics on there that are just saying what it's like. if I was to be like, we're doing a, like singing, like we're doing a podcast right now.
Well, yeah, they're raw, they're straightforward, and they're relatable. And they're also just like honest about what they're saying. You know, it's like they're songs about relationships and being 15 and like having your heart broken. And it's really digestible and relatable for a lot of people.
I don't think that, you know, like I said, this was written when they were super young. And I think that if you were to ask to anybody who is not that age to recreate this album the best that they could, they couldn't. I think that this is an album you have to be that time and place and age to make. I don't think that it could have been done. And interviews with them and how they've grown as songwriters and as musicians and as an artist, I think that even they would probably say that, because I personally think that you would love that their album Spin. That's like my second favorite after this one. They're really tied. Actually, when that album came out, I was blown away. It's like a tighter, more mature version of this album.
Well, speaking of time and place in particular, these guys were part of like a very, very cool and influential scene. The band that they looked up to the most was Tidal Fight, but they were, you know, they shared band members with like the Menzingers, and like they were playing a lot of shows with these guys. I watched, did you watch that stream that Adam Wickaphase did where he breaks down writing and everything for I Saw Water?
No, I wish I did. I didn't.
It's really interesting. He was saying, you know, like the production on this album, they just went to this guy. His name is Joe Loftus. And he was just like a local guy. Like it does sound like that, like local studio.
It's so sick.
It sounds like a local studio. It sounds like, hey, like let's, you know, save up our money and go to the studio and record. And that's what it is.
It's perfect. It's like, that's what I'm saying is like, if you tried to recreate this, you couldn't.
But they worked with Joe Loftus only because he also did Tidal Fight. So like anything that Tidal Fight was doing, Tiger's Jaw was also doing. In that same stream with Adam, he was talking about like when they were starting Tiger's Jaw, he really kind of wanted to go more of like the Bright Eyes direction. Like they wanted it to be like sadder and like more mellow. But at the same time, they're playing all these like punk shows and hardcore shows with Tidal Fight and like other bands. And they're like, okay, you can't always be the weird band. Like, let's write some songs that have like some energy to them. So I Saw Water, like you can hear that it's, they're trying to do something where they're like picking up the energy of the crowd. So that all goes back to, like you said, time and place. It's the time of the scene that they were in, the shows that they were playing, and where they lived, like the people that they were surrounded with and the scene that shaped them. Like they truly are a product of the scene that they came out of.
It is really important to look at all of that and how they came up. And, you know, they're one of those true bands that every band fucks with. Like every cool band that I like likes Tiger's Jaw. Every cool person I know, like regardless of.
Yeah, they're cool. Tiger's Jaw are definitely the cool guys.
Like regardless of like what they do, what if they don't listen to this stuff normally, like, you know, there are a lot of friends who are like hype beast, like fashion guys. And they're like, fucking love Tiger's Jaw. And then friends are like, yeah, I fucking don't listen to music at all. And they're like, yeah, we love Tiger's Jaw. It's something for some reason it hits everybody. But I also think that if you weren't part of this scene whatsoever, I think that this would be a little bit more difficult to get into. But if you had any taste or inkling of it, I think that this is like, you are like, I get this thing. But that's the really an interesting point about them is that they just transcend who, it doesn't matter if you listen, this is the only band of this genre you listen to it.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't matter if you're like a rap person. Like all these hype beast fucking kids, I would be in there, we'd go down to Fairfax and they would be like playing, like I remember one of my buddy's favorite songs was, fucking, it's your boyfriend, something, whatever. My boy, one of the albums on the song.
Your boyfriend, if he says he's got beef.
No, he's a vet. That's not them. That's not that at all. Hold on. Let me find the, I'll find the name of the song. I forgot it. But we would listen, he would play this fucking song the entire time we were driving. It is on repeat.
Your boyfriend.
I was never your boyfriend. That song off this album. And he looks like a dude that you would never, ever. And I mean this in the most stereotypical way possible. Mm. He's just like, you would never think that this dude loves this song. So, I mean, it is really, really important to understand that, like, they are such a staple in every, like, this, in that, in this world that doesn't get a lot of coverage for some reason.
So that's, I think, what I got for, like, initial impressions. Let's jump into some fast facts here.
I don't know any, I didn't look up any facts.
Well, there's three songs on this album that were re-recorded from their first album. There's Heat, Meals on Wheels, and The Sun. On the first album, Meals on Wheels had a different name. It was called Okay, Patty. Ben and Brianna, Ben Walsh and Brianna Collins, are the only two members still in the band.
Ben is the tallest guy that's ever, he's like Nat mode.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the tallest guy in the entire
world. He started out playing drums in the band.
He's fucking
originally
awesome. They were the first band that I interviewed that I was nervous to interview.
When did you have interview them?
Over the pandemic.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
For K-Rock?
Mm-hmm.
Both of them?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
They were the first band I interviewed where I was like, I'm like really nervous.
Nice.
And at this point I was like interviewing, like, I think I had interviewed like Tom DeLonge the week before that.
And you're like, Tom DeLonge, whatever. Tiger Shot.
Ugh. I was so fucking nervous. Yeah. I still am. I'm always amazed that they did Emo Night Days with us. They're doing it this year. I'm always amazed.
You're amazed that they like us?
Yeah.
Because the cool guys usually don't like us.
No. I just like, they're so much, they are just cool.
They're the coolest. And I agree though. I'm always like, oh, Tiger Shaw wants to play our show. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm just such a big fan where I'm just like, what? You want to do the thing that we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I am just such a big fan of theirs. And it's really funny because like a lot of the stuff that I wrote, it sounds like I'm trying to not be where I'm like, the lyrics are apathetic and like it gives the attitude of like not caring and there's stuff that's out of tune. And it's like, but those are all of the things about it that make it like perfect to me. But I could see on paper, I like wrote all this shit and I'm like, sounds like I don't like it. When really it's like my fucking, one of my favorite albums of all time. And it will be my, like, one of my favorite.
Love them.
I love them. I did read, sorry, I'm gonna just keep going.
Okay. Is this a fact?
No. I just want to make sure that like I get through all of the stuff that I have to say.
Okay.
Okay. You can say
whatever you want to say.
No, say some facts.
No, you say stuff.
Say some facts. Cause I didn't read.
We're under the fast facts section.
Okay, well, I didn't look up any facts.
Okay.
The only fact I know is that for some reason it's not the same album cover.
Yes. So Brianna designed the original one. The original one is like a drawing of a heart. And she drew that. And then when they reissued it, this is a completely different picture. It's a picture of some pizza. And Brianna took that picture. The pizza looks really fucking good. It was taken
It's pretty, it's like a pretty, like, people go there all the time and, like, recreate that picture.
Do they?
Yeah. It's like, I've seen so many of those. But my algorithm is, like, now Ableton, Tiger's Jaw.
Yeah, you're on Tiger's Jaw talk?
Yeah. I mean, well, dude, the fucking crazy thing is like, when I go to like look up all these, when we do this podcast, I try to look up interviews and reviews or like YouTube, whatever the fuck, anything about this that's like an outside perspective of, or giving me any facts. There's two interesting things. One is that some of the best articles that were written about them were done by Ian Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
He is like, yes, these guys fucking rock. He also wrote these articles like, I don't know. He knows his shit. Like, he is good. It's just like a pretentious ding dong situation where it's like he's using words that are like, you know, when a kid learns a new word for the first time and they're like so eager to say it.
Sure.
And then that's all they say.
Mm-hmm.
It like gives that, like his articles give that.
Pretentious for the sake of being pretentious.
Like, it just gives that. But it's like, they're like, girl, take that shit to Substack.
This episode of CD Burners is sponsored by Ghost, as in every episode. We're excited to have Ghost sponsoring the whole Emo Night 10-year anniversary weekend. We even worked with them to create our collab flavor that I'm drinking right now, that Morgan's also drinking. It's called Emo Orange. You can grab it at the Emo Night Tattoo Day and at God Bless the Echoplex on 12/7. And again, at the after party, you're going to probably need it after the party on 12/8.
We made this can. We made this can with them. It's a custom can. It's so cool. It's the first time we've ever done a can. You can write your name on it. It's supposed to be like a notebook, like from school. If you look close, it's like the
notebooks.
Yeah, one of those notebooks. Ghost Hydration will be at Emo Night Day on 12/8. And here are some of the artists that are going to be playing at Emo Night Day: Cobra Starship, 303, Seosin, Royal and the Serpent, Tiger's Jaw. Get out of here. And
that's it. All of those guys are playing on the ghost stage inside.
On the ghost stage inside. Anyway, here's the real ghost read that's not being read from it. I drink this shit every day. I love it. I'm so proud to have them to have made a can for us. Dan, who runs Ghost, is like truly a fan of emo and pop punk. So really cool and honored to have this, them be a part of and presenting a stage at Emo Night Day. The other thing about it is like, it's interesting because when we look up like YouTube reviews or whatever, people's thoughts on this album, there wasn't a ton, but what there was more covers and guitar covers and people playing these songs than I think any other album that we have done.
Why do you think that is?
I think it legitimately, because like, think about it, it came out 2008. You've got like the birth of, you know, like YouTube was a little bit before that, but it was like starting to be around then, that youth situation. You're like learning to play guitars. They're not particularly difficult songs to play. It like has all of the elements of somebody wanting to be like, I'm going to do a cover of this. And there are so many. There's so many. And I, dude, you know, we've done like My Chem and like Fall Out Boy and shit like that. And like that shit doesn't pop up. I mean, it does, but like not to the extent where like if you look up Tiger's Jaw on YouTube, it's like mainly people fucking covering their songs in their room.
Well, it's funny that you say they're like easy to play, because on that stream where Adam is like dissecting the songs or dissecting I Saw Water, he's listening to it and he's like, I don't know why, but the entire time I was in Tiger's Jaw, I was writing songs that were too hard for me to sing. Like, you can hear me struggling to hit these notes. And, you know, that's really part of the charm. Like, he's really got to try to get up there.
He's got a particularly pretty low voice.
That's true, too. Yeah. You know, he was like, I don't know why I didn't realize I could write songs that I could sing.
Which is another thing I think that stood out between them and a lot of the other bands at that time. Like, we were hearing whiny-ish voices over music that sounded adjacent to this. Nobody really sounded like Ben and Adam.
It's true. It's much more like indie sound than it is, you know, in the emo realm.
It really, like, it does, Ian does throw that word out there.
Which several, word?
Like, indie.
Indie,
like,
yeah.
It does. Like, his reviews were good. Yeah, they were really good, but it was funny because, like, you know how I was saying, I was like, it transcends, like, types of people. I watched this guy for the first time. He was, like, some fucking, like, some Fantano-ish type dude, but kind of was more Adam 22. It was, like, I don't know, white rap dude, I think, that older white rap dude, like, noticeably older white rap dude that was, like, doing a listen of I Saw Water for the first time by the band Tiger's Jaw. And he stopped it like every 5 seconds to be like, this is amazing. Like, this is incredible. Like, this is a rock song. He was like, this is a rock song. And so funny, because it was exactly what my experience of having people that I didn't think would like this stuff really liking it. And I think so, you know, my experiences with dudes that mainly fuck around with hip hop liking this stuff, you know, but that it goes to show that like people that like hardcore like this stuff, you know, like who they've booked shows with, it's just incredibly transcending. It was really funny, dude. Like, I was, well, you know, like, all the YouTube fucking videos of people covering her, like, somehow they managed to be in a fucking room that's as tall as it is wide. And it looks like there's probably blood on the floor. And they're just, like, covering the sun or playing, like, fucking the acoustic song. It's very funny. It's a really, 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 really funny.
Dude, in the same breath, the room that Adam does his, like, streams from. So it's so weird.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's I don't know where Adam lived or what that room was. Maybe it was like a spare room, but there's just like a radiator behind him and then like a Chinatown Market basketball, some shitty shades, and that's it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. You know, he's dripped out. He's wearing like this camo Patagonia. He's so cool. Standout tracks. What tracks do you love the most off this album? I know it's going to be hard.
It's rough. That's a rough one. It's one of those, it's going to be one of those ones where it depends on what mood I'm in. But I really do like I Was Never Your Boyfriend because of like the dude that would listen to that all the time. Dude, I don't, they're all good. They're all so good.
Plane versus tank versus submarine. Like that first line is incredible. The lie to me.
Yeah, that's another song.
Like you used to.
It's also like such a weird placement on the album. Like
it's like second.
Yeah, but it's like at the end of that song sounds like it doesn't need to be. It's like it's fucking so strange. The arrangement of this stuff that works so well.
Obviously, another standout is I Saw Water. In that video with Adam, when he's talking about the song, he's breaking down the chord progression and he's like, I didn't realize this till after, but this song is pretty much the same as Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And it's like the same chord progression and like a kind of similar melody.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know what I was doing. I think I like subconsciously did that or I don't really know, but it's the same. And then my personal favorite, I think, is Chemicals.
I knew you would like.
Yeah, because I like the slower songs.
I think you would love Spin. I think you really should listen to Spin now that you got like a good grasp on this album. I think you'll be like, oh, this is, how did I miss this? I think it's going to do to you what fucking.
The Wonder Years did?
Yeah.
I like Charmer. I love that album.
I think Spin is going to do for you when that album came out, that was all I listened to for like a year.
Going back to Chemicals, I know it's slower than the rest of the album, but I really love Brianna's harmonies when she comes in. She's like, I am nothing.
Yes.
And then like just the way that it builds, like it just builds and then hits you right in the fucking face.
It's so funny that you're like, you said that because I was listening to it today and I was like, some of the stuff that they're singing over each other are not harmonies. They're just doing the same thing. It's awesome. Like,
They're just like octaves like, or whatever.
Not even. And the producer, like if they went in with like a producer would be like, no, sing this harmony or you do this part. And they were just like, we're doing this. I wonder how drastically different it would sound if they went in with like a producer. I can't get over the fact that like it's how it sounds and the song structures and like goes to show you can't like, I don't know, you really put teens that like give a shit about this stuff in front of a, like let them record what they want to do without getting in the way of it. And, you know, you influence an entire fucking generation.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. One of the things that Adam said in his stream, he was like, one of the main reasons why I left Tiger Shaw was because I just was like embarrassed to keep singing these songs that I wrote when I was like 15. I don't know. It's just hard for me to see that because these songs are so fucking good. But I guess like when you're the artist, you know, you always want to like keep progressing or whatever. And if you reach a point where the project isn't really what you wanted to do, like he went off and he did his like emo rap thing and he, you know, launched a whole scene there too with like GBC and, you know, I have respect for continuing to progress. But like, to me, these songs are so good. I can't imagine not being proud of them. You know, that's hard for me to wrap my head around because this album's awesome. It's better than anything I could ever do.
They're aware of that, at least like an interview with Ben. He does realize that, you know, because you grow as people and you grow as songwriters and you grow as musicians and artists. Like the songs obviously progressed and get better at, or not better, they just get different. And you can absolutely tell, like, the further along that they go, you're like, oh, there's real song structure. There's, they mixed this where it doesn't sound like dirt. I think that that's why this album is so beautiful, is because it's like carefree. It feels really carefree in the best way possible. I don't think it's like recreatable. I think you have to be this age, time, and place to make this. I don't think that the best musicians or the best artists in the entire world could sit in a room and make this if they tried. I just don't think that it's possible. Another thing about it is, like, Brianna is so sick. We just never hear her, you know. Everybody's like there's not a lot there. It's just true. There's not a lot of women in this scene. She's been such a big part of it. We're just like, I don't know. They somehow managed to like stay out of all of the bullshit. Cause she is like right in the center of it.
Yeah.
I'm like amazed at how cool that they are, and that they don't, like, I don't know if she, like, she turns down interview. I've seen so many, like, a bunch of good interviews with her, and she's just so funny and cool and down to earth. Somebody that you would be like, yeah, that is just my friend.
Yeah.
That's like my friend. And it's,
yeah. I also love that she loves Brand New, like, as much as I love Brand New. She like talked about how she got a phone call from Jesse Lacey once. Like, her friend was like hanging out with them after their show. It was like a show that she didn't get to go to.
I watched that interview.
Yeah. And then like her friend put Jesse on the phone, and she was like, what the fuck? Is this really Jesse?
And I think it's so cool. I think that, you know, that their whole like group like does all their videos, and she does like a lot of the art. I think it's just, it really feels like a band. I don't know. They have all of the pieces about a band that makes me love them. I'm surprised that we did this album. I don't know who picked it or what.
I picked it because Tiger Shaw is performing at Emo Night Day in 2 weeks, and I wanted to talk about it.
I'm glad that you listened to it.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I've listened to it before.
I know, but I'm glad that, like, it's different when we're like listening to stuff as opposed to like listening to it and reporting on it and trying to find.
Yeah, like digging in and researching it. I really like doing this podcast because it forces me to, you know, spend some time and like learn about these bands, even though, you know, we've worked with Tiger Shaw on and off since 2018. But like sitting down and researching it and like watching interviews and listening to this album over and over again, like, has given me a greater appreciation for this band. And I'm excited for their performance at Emo Night Day.
And like every time we've worked with them, or anytime we've, I remember we were in like the, when they did Emo Night Day, 2000, whenever, 18 was it?
Mm-hmm.
It was like Demi Lovato is there, and Brianna was like, oh my God. And I like brought her to, and I was like, this is, because I was more stoked on.
Yeah, Brianna.
Yeah. And then she is just like a fan of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't emphasize like how good, like nice and cool and good people they are.
Yeah. And we did have a cool moment at Emo Night Day. There's a couple of videos on YouTube. I don't think there's anything from us officially. I don't think we caught this moment. Adam he was performing at Emo Night Day with Wicca Faze, Springs Eternal, just decided to hop up on stage with Tiger Shaw, and they did I Saw Water. And it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to watch.
I want to see if I can find that, this like YouTube video of that guy.
Here's
Jaw. Yeah, this is it.
The rapper.
This is a year ago.
Coming at you. We're going to listen to some Tiger's Jaw.
Like, it's,
hold on, before I get to that,
just like some like elderly, like
videos, but I want to cover it here too. May not be posting any videos tomorrow. I'm not sure how it's going to work out.
I love this guy.
The apartment here, who's having surgery tomorrow.
It's so funny. Not sure how that's, it's like, go. It's so awesome.
Let's jump into some liner notes here real quick. There's not a lot, but it was produced by Joe Loftus, who is like a local guy. He doesn't have a lot of creds, but he does have some cool creds. He did Title Fight. He did.
Which Title Fight?
A few. Pull up his actual IM discography, discogs. Joe Loftus. Okay. Title Fight, The Last Thing You Forget, Title Fight, Kingston, The Wonder Years, The Upsides, One Step Closer, and Tiger Shaw, Tiger Shaw.
These are hard shit. Some hard stuff.
Yeah, but it's all Pennsylvania stuff. All Scranton.
There's another thing that Ben did that I was like, I think they opened a... I might be wrong.
He has
like,
a donut shop.
I think it closed it.
It's closing it December 1st. Yeah. It's still open for another week, so
go. You guys go.
Go try one of Ben's donuts in Pennsylvania if you're living there.
It's like I props to starting that and doing that. It's a he wrote like a really nice heartwarming thing when he was like, "Hey, I'm gonna close it up."
It's sad.
It's like hard to do. He was like, "It's really hard." I saw somewhere that they're like also teachers. I don't know.
I don't know. If you like this, you might like what
I put this. I put Oso Oso.
Love Oso Oso.
I put Oso Oso, another band that I was really, really sprung on for the first, what was it, like 2016. I was like, we got to get these guys at Webster Hall one night day, or just at Webster Hall. I was like, we got to get them. And I couldn't believe that they said yes.
I put Saves the Day, obviously, and Joyce Manor. I wanted to just do an honorable mention here of Joyce Manor and Tiger Shaw. Last year, they put out singles covering each other's songs. So Joyce Manor does I Saw Water, and Tiger Shaw, what did they do? Constant Headache.
Yeah. They're so good. And they're both so good. It's awesome. Did you listen to them?
I did, yeah.
They're so good. I love, that was like, I remember looking at Twitter when that came out, and I was like, I thought I like misread it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is like Christmas for me. This is
your two faves.
This is like Hanukkah for me.
All right. Anything else to add?
I'm sure I do. I don't know. Let me see. Let me make sure. And Brianna is just like, she is a fan of.
That one's, what does that say?
Says something full.
Okay. Well, we got to stop.
The other card is full and the other one.
That one's full too.
What?
Okay. We got to stop.
Okay.
Unless you have anything else you want to put on the wide card.
All right, Whitey.
Okay. Goodbye.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody. Listen to this album if you haven't listened to it before.
It's fantastic. It's why hip hop is so amazing. It just is. Thanks again. I will hopefully see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.